The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
Don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Ha ha ha! I love it. Good to be back on the air here on WRFD. Mark Harrington here. Just spent 12 days in California with the survivors of the abortion holocaust doing training and outreach. This is a youth organization, and you can tell by the name that they are survivors of the abortion holocaust. That means these young people were born prior or after 1973. Now, it could be up to 41 years old, but most of them are in their teen years. And what we do with survivors is we take them out onto the street. We went to Venice Beach. We went to Santa Monica. We visited the neighborhoods of abortionists to expose them to their community in the hopes that they might repent and stop killing children. We went to Hollywood Boulevard. We celebrated in front of Hobby Lobby at that decision. We're going to talk about that next week on the program. So it was a whole week of activism with survivors of the abortion holocaust. And when I got back yesterday, we got the good news. And I know some of my listeners have been asking, hey, Mark, what's the status on your trial in Albuquerque? Well, I got good news. Yesterday, my attorney stood before the judge in Albuquerque ready to present the motion to dismiss my case based on the First Amendment, and the case was dismissed. So, God, you know, you got to love it. Justice, it may move slowly in America, but it's still moving. It might be at a crawl in America, but there still is the rule of law, and so we're thankful. We're celebrating that victory. We won the case in Albuquerque, which I was pretty confident we would, because I was wrongly arrested for exercising my First Amendment rights to campaign outside a voting center, albeit a voting center that was on private property. And this hopefully will set a precedent. That remains to be seen, but it will set a precedent for those who do campaign or do any electioneering outside of voting centers. If you've ever been to a voting center, there's typically a 100-foot buffer, which they call a free speech zone, which you can't go past to reach people. You have to do it outside the 100-foot barrier. And most of these voting centers, as you noticed, when you go out, are on private property. Well, this individual, the owner, didn't like the message I was putting out and decided to exercise his property rights and convince the police to arrest me. That was in November of 2013. Well, the fact of the matter is that when a voting center or when a property owner leases space to a voting center, they forfeit, at least for the time of the voting, their rights to private property. That's basically the understanding. And so my judge, thankfully, dismissed the case. And so we're hoping that there can be a precedent set here, that others around the country will not be harassed for exercising their free speech rights outside of voting centers. We don't know if that's going to set a precedent or not. And people have been asking me if I'm going to be suing for damages and all that kind of thing. And quite honestly, I don't know yet. To me, a win's a win. I don't necessarily want to be caught up in court. I think I can be more effective doing what we do out on the street and in the public square rather than dealing with attorneys and depositions and all of that kind of thing. I want to thank everybody in our listening audience for praying for me and the verdict. Justice has been served in this case, so glory to God. The other bit of news, which happened on Wednesday of this week, is that we commonly take our interns, our summer interns, out to the public square, downtown, in this case, downtown Columbus, on the sidewalk in front of the State House. And as you can imagine, if you're going to show abortion victim photography on large placards, you're likely going to get some opposition. It's not uncommon that people come up and debate us, or generally they're civil about it. But on occasion, we get some people that are a little more animated, that kind of lose control verbally. That's understandable, and we're trained to kind of lower the volume a bit and trying to, you know, convince people that we can have a civil conversation about difficult issues, and generally we prevail. But on Wednesday, it was a different story with one young lady who came up and began to verbally attack one of our young interns. After that, she went after a couple of our signs and destroyed them, and then assaulted my training director, that's Seth Dreyer. Now, this is all caught on film, because one thing we are good at is that if we understand the risks that we're at when we're on these campuses, we understand the risk that we're putting ourselves in and our people that come with us. We understand that. It's kind of part and parcel with being a follower of Jesus Christ, that you're going to take risks. And you might actually get physically hurt doing it. Now, we train our people to be nonviolent. We believe in nonviolent passive resistance. We train them to take a beating rather than to give it out, to take abuse rather than to return abuse for abuse, a kind word turns away wrath, as the scripture says. So we understand that there's going to be cases like this. It's just part of the deal. We get it. So we want to make sure that we are doing all we can to reduce the likelihood of it happening by training our people to be winsome apologists and ambassadors for Jesus Christ. But beyond that, we are smart about the security, and that is that we have security cameras attached to our people that are running 24/7 the whole time we're out there. And that helps us to capture this kind of video and then prosecute, if necessary, the perpetrators of these kinds of acts. And in this case, we were able to do that, put it on Facebook, and in order to teach people like myself across the country how to best represent ourselves when things happen like this, how to be able to handle an offensive, unruly person who disagrees with us. And so I think it's helpful, it's instructive for people to see the video, to understand that we can stand for our values and do it in a way that's respectful, and do it in a way that doesn't escalate the debate, the argument. In this case, unfortunately, that none of that worked with this individual, and they acted out on our signs and my training director. And so the local news picked it up, and I'm going to play a clip from the news. Of course, this is bleeped out because the young lady used a lot of profanity, but you'll get an understanding of what happened and our response to it.
Major meltdown in downtown Columbus.
It's the white privileged racist male that doesn't stand for women's rights.
The display that set this woman off. We'll hear from her in just a moment.
The first Fox 28's Tara Morgan is live to show us what started it all. Tara?
Well, Yolanda, pro-life group Created Equal stages protests at least twice a week in front of the State House. They are used to heated discussions, but today was the first time things got out of hand.
Don't give a shit about
women. You don't give a shit about life. All you are just a bunch of...
She says her name is Victoria Durant. On this day, taking out not one, but two signs as she unleashes her anger on the pro-life group Created Equal. The first young man is a summer intern.
And get that camera out of my face!
Either.
I'm call the police.
Training director Seth Dreyer is behind the camera.
She physically pushed me by arms. She did later on, we were standing by a bus, and she pushed me into the bus. It was stationary.
Created Equal knows the abortion debate is heated. Their sidewalk protests are protected by the First Amendment. What they won't do is give up or fight back.
We're smart about it. We don't want people getting hurt. You know, we try to, you know, behave in a way that we think's Christ-like and respecting people's opinions, whether they agree or not.
It does not look like that. It's a clip of itself.
It's protocol for Created Equal to switch on cameras for situations just like this and get the police in the picture.
I was alarmed for the safety of myself and my team, and I was also concerned of what was going through the woman's mind who stopped.
Something they won't forget, but can forgive.
We believe in forgiveness. You know, if she were to say, I'm really sorry, and told me that she was sorry for what she did, and she sounded, you know, truthful about it, you know, we would even consider dropping the charges.
And tonight I did catch up with Victoria Durant for her side of the story.
The First Amendment protects them from government interference. It doesn't protect them from people just basically telling them they're idiots.
But you assaulted them.
Assault? I wouldn't necessarily say shoving someone aside and telling them to keep the camera out of my face as assault.
You think it's okay to push people?
I believe that I had the right to tell them that they did not have my consent to film me.
Harrington says Durant is charged with assault and criminal damaging. Durant wouldn't discuss her legal troubles tonight, but says she has no regrets. Live downtown, Tara Morgan, Fox 28 News.
There you go. Let me unpack that in the minute we have before the break here. First of all, this young woman has said that the First Amendment protects government interference. That's true. But the government has the responsibility to protect the First Amendment as well from citizens that violate it. And in this case, this woman has every right to disagree with us, but she doesn't have the right to attack us. Now, she said assault isn't necessarily pushing someone away. If that's not assault, I'm not certain what is. Physically pushing someone is assault. And the other thing, and finally, is filming in the public square. Again, people, when we are in the public arena, we lose a reasonable right to privacy. That is the law. So we can film anywhere we like without anyone's permission as long as it's in the public domain. So she's wrong on all three counts. Pray for this young lady. Pray for her. We're attempting to try to get a meeting with her so we can discuss this and share the love of Jesus Christ with her so she can come to repentance and receive our Savior. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Voice of Resistance, The Mark Harrington Show. Stick around.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
I just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
Let's talk about love. That's what we're talking about today on the Mark Harrington Show. It's all about love. That's right. And I tell you what, there's no better way to love our preborn neighbors than to take their deaths and redeem them. By using abortion victim photography, there's probably no better way to represent the preborn than doing that. And when we do, we end up with situations like we did the other day with this young woman downtown who attacked us and our signs. It happens. And I think it's going to increasingly happen. And we need to be prepared for that as we go down the road of a nation that resolves its problems with violence. And we've taught an entire generation that's how you do it. So it's not hard to understand that this woman would do what she did. Having said that, we will prosecute her to the fullest extent of the law, because we are a nation of laws, and justice matters. And hopefully that's the kind of thing that turns people around. We've all been there at one point. We got busted for something, maybe not with the police or what, but we're all sinners in need of a savior. And for me anyway, it wasn't until I found myself on the other side in trouble that I came to know Jesus Christ as my savior. And I think in some cases that's what's necessary for others. So we're looking forward to hopefully getting a meeting with this young woman to discuss the happenings of that day this past Wednesday here in Columbus. And just pray for that meeting. Hope that we can get through to her and let her know we hold no grudges against her, and that we would forgive her if she's willing to apologize for what she's done and drop the charges. It's really not about that. We want a lesson to be taught, but we also understand that she's obviously in many ways disturbed. Maybe she's post-abortive. We don't know all that yet, but there is reason to continue to seek her out and to try to get with her and share the gospel with her. So the fact of the matter is that the pro-life movement generally, and I think historically, is one of the most, if not the most, peaceful nonviolent movements in American history. However, having said that, any successful movement has three basic characteristics. The first is this: a successful social action movement creates tension, not for the sake of it only, but creates tension in order to disturb people enough to get them to think, because it has to become personal. And when it comes to the abortion issue, the preborn can't speak for themselves. We've got to do that for them. Unlike in past reform movements like the Civil Rights Movement, where African Americans and others could actually speak on their own behalf, the preborn can't. So they rely on us to do that. So we've got to create tension in America. I think it has to get more difficult to live with the idea that America kills its children. And one way to do that is simply let the victims speak for themselves. And that's why we use victim imagery. This isn't foreign, by the way, to the Bible. Jesus spoke on the idea of creating tension, if you will, when he talked about the persistent widow. In Luke chapter 18, he said that there was a certain judge who did not fear God nor respect man, and there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection for my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, she wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he long delay over them?" The point of the matter is, you have a judge, an unrighteous judge, didn't fear God nor man. Then you have a widow who wants legal protection against her adversary. Legal protection sounds familiar, doesn't it, to what the preborn deserve. And because she wanted it bad enough, she kept coming to him, bothering him, wearing him out. And because of that, he finally relented. The point of the matter here, as it relates to social action movements, is we need to create tension. We need to wear out our opponents. We're in it for the long haul. And that's what we do at Created Equal, basically. We use abortion victim photography to bother people, to get them to think differently. We want to wear people out. We want to outlive them or outfight them, if you will, on our knees. It's important that we understand there's biblical precedent for what we do here at Created Equal. So we create tension. We create tension like our social reformers in the past. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for example, believed in that. He said he was going to shame America before the world. He succeeded in doing that with a willing press. We don't have that necessarily. We've got to use the public square to do it. So the other thing in this passage, which I think is important to understand, that this was an unrighteous judge Jesus was talking about in this parable. If it's true for an unrighteous judge who doesn't fear God nor man, how much more true will it be for God, who is a righteous judge, who hears the cries of the unborn and those who defend them? Will he not bring justice to them who cry out to him day and night? I think he will. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. The other thing is this. Another characteristic of an effective social action movement is that there are sacrifices that need to be made by those who are part of that movement. In other words, they have to be willing to be persecuted for what they believe in. In my opinion, that's the glue, the adhesive that binds us together as Christians and as a movement. We understand that as we look at something like the Freedom Rides, which, by the way, we have something called a Justice Ride, which on Monday we will be heading out again for a week of activism across the southern part of America. We'll be in Atlanta, Birmingham, Jackson, Mississippi, and Nashville, Tennessee. And we take these justice riders, these young people, out on the road and teach them the immutable principles of social action, some of those which I share on this program. And we kind of immerse them in the idea of these freedom riders. Here's the difference between the freedom riders and other social movement people. That is this. They were willing to die for what they believed in. And that's also true of our forefathers in the scripture. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 said this, "And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and affliction await me. But I don't consider my life any account to myself, in order that I might finish the course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly to the gospel of the grace of God. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink or hesitate to declare for you the whole counsel of God." Paul knew his days were short. He knew the end of his life was near. And he stood boldly and said, "I had finished the course. I kept the faith because I declared the whole counsel of God." He was willing to speak the truth, and we must be as well. You've been listening to The Mark Harrington Show. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, 2:30 Eastern Time on WRFD. Go to our website at createdequal.net if you want to know more about our justice rides. Thank you, everyone, for praying for me, for the verdict in Albuquerque. Praise God. We have justice in that case. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America. To bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington,
your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal.
For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net.
createdequal.net.
Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders
in the culture war.